Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. After no jurors were chosen on Monday, they got to almost halfway there Tuesday for the hush money trial of Donald Trump.
Trump stayed mostly quiet, but at one point the judge chastised him for audibly muttering as a woman answered questions about what Trump's lawyer described as her extraordinarily hostile Facebook posts. Judge Michonne warned Trump's lawyer that Trump was muttering in the direction of the jurors, saying, "I will not tolerate that. I will not have any jurors intimidated in this courtroom."
ABC's Aaron Katursky. The Labor Department issued a final rule cutting in half the permissible exposure limit for crystalline silica dust for coal miners. The dust causes black lung disease, which contributed to thousands of premature deaths. His family announced the death of former U.S. Senator and two-term Florida Governor Bob Graham. He gained prominence chairing the Intelligence Committee after the September 11th attacks. Bob Graham was 87. This is ABC News. From the Where Are They Now file, a federal judge in New York City sentenced former NBAer Will Bynum to 18 months in the penitentiary on his conviction for lying related to NBA players who submitted bogus dental and medical claims to the association's health plan. More than 20 people have been convicted. No shrinking violet, Courtney Love is expressing her thoughts on Taylor Swift and Beyonce that are not sitting well with some.
Pole frontwoman Courtney Love. Is known for aggressive punk pop music, but she has no love for Taylor Swift's brand of pop. In an interview with the UK's The Standard, she says, quote, "Taylor is not important." She calls her music a safe space for girls, but says Swift isn't interesting as an artist. Beyonce fares a little better. Love says she applauds her for doing a country album and going into spaces not usually open for black women. "As a concept, I love it," says Love, but finishes with, "I just don't like her music."
This ain't Texas.
Jason Adams and ABC News, Hollywood.
And in New York, Richard Cantu, ABC News.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
That's
off.
That's not... What are you talking about? That was December off. Basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules,
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
you would
not.
Just yeah. start freaking out.
Yeah.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. If you're living with diabetes and on Medicare, the Inflation Reduction Act caps your out-of-pocket insulin costs at $35 a month. But for many other Americans, the cost of insulin is still expensive.
Only three companies are able to control basically the global supply of insulin. And in the United States, that means that there are unaffordable costs.
Catherine Poe is a policy researcher. Wisconsin is not one of the 25 states that cap insulin copays. Two scenic highways in Wisconsin are now part of the state's Rustic Roads program. The first stretch covers almost 10 miles near the American Birkebeiner Trail in northwest Wisconsin. The other new route crosses Honey Creek near East Troy and passes what was once a one-room schoolhouse. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers bow to the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee had a 3-1 lead over San Diego. Then came an ugly fifth inning. The Padres hitting half a dozen singles, driving in six runs. They went on to win 7-3 at American Family Field. Brewers catcher William Contreras let a Joe Ross pitch get past him. Manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. You know, William's been so good, and the ball was not exactly a strike, but I think the ball got away from Joe and kind of takes off, you know, took off when a guy's throwing 95 miles an hour sometimes, and it could happen to any catcher on that pitch.
The series continues tonight. NFL, Packers players reporting to Green Bay for a week of meetings and physicals. NBA, the Bucks are 1-4 so far this season against the Pacers. The good news is head coach Doc Rivers has until Sunday to prepare.
Yeah, we get to practice. Yeah, and Indiana has had our number all year, right? We'll have great focus because we're going to have to.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Still some showers and storms roaming the range here the overnight. It will stay gusty, although look for those speeds to back down just a bit. Overnight lows staying in the lower 50s and pretty much holding steady in the lower 50s during the day. Wednesday, showers and still some storms around. It's 47 at our studios.
Wednesday on Matt and Air On Air, we talk about plastics in Lake Michigan and public service announcement at 11:33. Don't miss it.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air On Air. Greg Buck is off today. Luke Mathers is here for hour two. Calvin's on the board. You can always join the show. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter.
And I have a question right off the top.
Of course.
How come Greg doesn't say civic like he used to say party?
It's not the same.
It's not the same?
It's not the same.
I think it's more important.
Do you want to do it?
855-75 Civic.
There you go.
It's got gravitas then to it.
It's got a little more. It's a little meatier.
Yeah.
It's a little meatier. We're going to start off the hour by talking about the trial of the century. Donald Trump is in court for day number two, and it's been referred to as a hush money case, and it's really not.
No. It's not.
He hid documentation of this payoff to this person because he was afraid it was going to affect the outcome of the election, essentially.
Yes. Or at least that is what is going to be argued by the state of New York and the prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, when it comes to how this trial, or not the state of New York, I believe this New York City.
New York City.
And so it's going to be interesting to see. Because this trial is going to, I think it's a little premature to say the trial of the century, because I think there's some more important
trials
that are coming.
Yes, that's true.
Hopefully that we will get the chance to hear some of those before Election Day, because I think it's important to voters to see what the outcome of these legal matters that the former president is finding himself enthralled in.
Yes.
And so I'm not going to go that far to say the trial of the century, but had the hidden payments been for anything. Say that the National Enquirer got a story about the fact that Trump had two separate sets of books for his taxes, what he's facing in New York State court as well for lying and defrauding taxpayers there.
Right.
Say the National Enquirer was going to run a story on that, and Trump, through the same channels of his campaign, paid $130,000 to hide that story because he was worried that the voters in New York and across the entire country would make determinations from that leading up to the 2016 presidential election. We would still be right where we are now then. Because it's not a payment. It's the fact that it was hush money, the fact that it was to Stormy Daniels, is not why Donald Trump is finding himself in court right now. He wants to frame it as, oh, I'm being persecuted for this because it's hush money to... And it's not the case. It's because he lied. He disclosed, or he did not disclose these payments. He hid them. He did the shuffling of the books to prevent a story that could have determined some voters' preference going into the 2016 election. And that's why he finds himself in court. Kind of an interesting venue for him to have his little daily snoozes, it seems like, that we get to all find out about.
Nappy time, apparently. Nappy time is big. We have Jake Tapper talking to New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman. This was after yesterday's
day one trial.
Let's play that little clip.
Maggie, I have to ask, you guys have been, at the Times, have been live blogging this event. And 40 minutes ago, you wrote an observation that I was very surprised. Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps dropping down and his mouth goes slack. Tell us about that.
Well, Jake, he appeared to be asleep, and repeatedly his head would fall down. There have been other moments in other trials, like the E.G. Carroll trial, which was around the corner in January, where he appeared very still and seemed as if he might be sleeping, but then he would move. This time, he didn't pay attention to a note that his lawyer, Todd Blanche, passed him. His jaw kept falling on his chest, and his mouth kept going slack. Now, sometimes people do fall asleep during court proceedings, but it's notable given the intensity of this morning and a lot of what was being argued.
Yeah, that's rather surprising.
How does that look to the jurors? This is during jury selection.
This is jury selection right now. So I don't know how the potential jurors that are being discussed by the two legal teams, how they would take that. But I don't know how this doesn't get to be a bigger story. Like, everybody's talking about Sleepy Joe, or like Joe Biden's too old to be up. This man can't even stay awake for his first day in court. This is a very important, like, determination of whether or not he's going to be found guilty of defrauding New York voters. And you're telling me that he dozes off and this isn't national news all of a sudden? Like,
well, it's gaining more traction.
Just not anywhere close to the speed that it would have.
Oh, you're right.
Imagine we're just a couple of weeks beyond Easter now. Imagine if at the National Cathedral, President Joe Biden goes for mass and dozes off. Because, I mean, there's no court cases that Joe Biden's going to be able to compare to this. But imagine if President Joe Biden did that. Where the national right-wing media apparatus would have stories like that.
It would never cease.
It would be the A-block on every single newscast.
Absolutely. Day after day.
And apparently, we're on day two of this trial, and the former president is 2 for 2 dozing off, it sounds like.
Yep. From Really American, breaking on the second day of jury selection, former President Donald Trump once again struggling to stay awake as court reporters are detailing his losing battles with the Sandman. And what I saw these.
That's a good way to describe it. A losing battle to the Sandman.
A slew of nicknames flooded the internet on Monday after Maggie Haberman reported that he was nodding off. Sleepy Don was one of the most popular. Mm-hmm. I kind of like this one. Don Snorleone.
That was Mr. Pat Kreitlow for Up North News Radio.
Nice.
He led with that one this morning because he was a big fan of that one too.
Rip Van Stinkle. Apparently also in the running. And then I saw one this morning, Orange Drulius.
Yeah.
But Drulius
might be my favorite.
Orange
Drulius might be my favorite.
And you were kind of the one, Luke, to point this out. This is kind of fitting for the person who loves to make up nicknames about everybody else, right?
Yeah, it's not typically, it's not the way that I would go about discussing the story, but I don't think you can be mad at the internet for producing these all of a sudden when the gentleman that is famous for giving his opponents, his political opponents, and just about anybody he wants to talk about and throw shade at, he gives them nicknames. And so They're coming back at him. It's kind of the what goes around comes around kind of thing.
Turnaround is fair play.
Yeah.
The other thing that really stuck out to me yesterday was the amount of jurors who essentially said, "Yeah, I can't be impartial."
Yeah,
they started out with 96 people,
and they dismissed 50 of them on the first day yesterday.
And a lot of them were just they said, "Can you be fair and impartial?" And all these people raised their hand and said, "Yeah, no."
That's gonna be, I think, for the court there in New York, in Manhattan. This is going to take a little while.
To find it, this is going to take some time. To see the jury.
Yeah.
That's why they gave it 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I have a feeling they might not even meet that deadline. I think they're going to have to go looking. Because imagine to be an impartial juror on a case like this. Like, imagine getting your jury summons in Manhattan and you think you're going, for either like a hit and run or, you know, insurance stuff. Like,
you don't know. You don't.
Just get the summons.
Right.
And you got to be kind of like imagine how tuned out you'd have to be impartial in Manhattan. I feel like that's got to be really difficult for this court and this judge and the lawyers that are going to be trying to dismiss every single possible juror on either way.
Well, there is a limit on that number, though.
Yeah.
There's a limit. They can only automatically X out so many.
Right.
Otherwise, and they're never going to reach it. We're never going to see the jury.
And so I think it will be curious to know if there was a lot of those that were struck or dismissed yesterday because of that or what. But it's...
You have to think. I don't know. Come on.
Have you served on a jury?
No, I haven't.
I have. It was I forget what birthday, but I got to do it for a birthday.
Oh,
so,
fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Fun times.
So much fun that whole week. And it's an interesting process. So I can only imagine like walking into the jury and box and like learning that you've been selected and this is the case. Like, that's just got to be a whirlwind experience for whichever Manhattan residents are getting that jury summons this
but
week.
I have to think, and this is mean, but I've run into enough clueless people in the last month that I'm pretty sure they could find
you're confident 12
relatively clueless people in Manhattan.
All right.
It shouldn't be that hard.
I'm skeptical. I'm,
really?
I'm skeptical. I am.
Oh,
I,
you have I more think, faith in humanity than I do.
I guess I'm just sitting in, like, and I know that obviously I pay attention to the news. Like, I am.
We
like,
all do.
I'm like a one percenter when it comes to how much, like, my wife will tell me, like, why are you constantly focused on all of this stuff? And I don't know the
it's
reason.
It's where we swim.
If,
it's
I would
where
say
we
if
swim.
I had that answer, I might be in a different line of work. But it's not the case. And so I'm addicted to the knowledge of what's going on, current events. And I get that I'm in the super minority on that side of things, but I just don't know how you haven't been paying attention at least to get some kind of information around this, but it'll be interesting to see how the jury gets assembled there in New York City.
Well, and I think it's also important for folks to remember because Trump loves to say, you know, this is a witch hunt and it's the Biden administration weaponizing our judicial system. Grand juries, from what I understand, Luke, are made up of human people.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
That is the last I heard.
I've never been on the grand jury. I've never been on the jury. But these are just regular citizens who were presented with evidence. And then they decided that, yes, there is enough here to move
Correct.
This forward.
Yes.
So. Jury of your peers, man.
Yeah, it's for
it's
a very long time.
Works.
He was a Manhattan resident, and he's going to be now judged by a jury of his Manhattan peers.
We'll give you another update when we return. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The chain goes to the store at 8. She walks up.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Fabulous Farm Bay, Pam Yonke here, bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings on WLAK. This isn't just for farmers, people. It's for anybody that enjoys food. Tune in 5 a.m. on Lake Air 1260, WLAK, Amory.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Luke Mathers, and Calvin on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. If you ever want to join us, you can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC.
You said Civic already.
855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Talking about Donald Trump in court. It's day two and another report. An apparently exhausted former president did perk up today in court, Luke Mathers, when one of the jurors mentioned he read his book. Trump is leaning back and reading the questionnaire. He looks tired, struggling to keep his heavy eyelids open. Perked up, though, when the last potential juror mentioned the art of the deal. Molly Crane Newman writes for the New York Daily News. Just now, Trump smiles and nods as a prospective juror says he's read two of the books, Art of the Deal and How to Get Rich. Trump had apparently dozed off during the first day of his trial. That was yesterday. Several reporters noticing his head dropping down onto his chest.
The whole trial is about him, but the only thing that gets his ears to perk up is a
somebody mentioning his
juror
book.
Isn't
that amazing?
It's, I think, just a perfect demonstration that the man is out for himself. Like, that is who he is. And so I don't think it should come as a surprise because he very much throughout his political career has like built it around, there's grievances and they're your grievances and they're my grievances and I'm going to fight for you is what he tries to allege.
Right.
And now we're finding out that he's just fighting his own grievances. Like, that's what it is. He's not fighting for anybody else at this point. He's fighting to prevent, like, the donations that the RNC, the Republican National Committee, is it fundraising to pay Donald Trump's legal
bills.
Like, that is the extent that he is just enthralled the entire political party, wrapped it up around himself, and is like, this serves me now.
And only me.
Yeah. So it's very telling that he can't even stay awake. But it'll be fascinating to see, again, how this jury is assembled and what will come of the arguments when they begin as soon as they have a jury.
Well, and as you mentioned, too, I will be interested to see how this is covered on other mainstream media outlets. I mean, certainly Fox isn't going to talk about the fact that Trump was nodding off in court and can't stay awake. That's going to undercut their whole Sleepy Joe narrative. You know, and again, they are both elderly men.
Yes.
They are.
Yes. But one of them is currently barnstorming the nation and doing political and other official business around the entire country. And the other one is dozing off in courtrooms. And I think it's telling. Or when he's not in court, he's on a golf course.
Yes.
That's
pretty much it.
That's been a summary of his time spent since leaving the White House.
Even when he was in the White House.
You're right.
He golfed almost an entire year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just under like 300, I think it was 347 days he golfed.
So just about 25% of his presidency
spent on the golf course.
Yeah. Yes.
The other thing that really jumped out at me from yesterday, apparently the judge has not decided whether or not Donald Trump will be able to attend his son Barron's high school graduation.
Yeah. Essentially, the judge was just like, I'm not going to rule on that yet because we're not to that point yet.
Well, and I've seen some disparate information. One says that his Barron's graduation is May 17th, which is a Friday. They're not in
awkward on Friday.
They won't be. Not in an afternoon, unless it's like a middle of a day thing. But I mean, I would not imagine that if it's a Friday evening that they'll still be in court.
No, exactly. And the other thing that I find remarkable, do we genuinely think Donald Trump went to any of his children's high school graduations?
I'm one to say, like, I don't care what the man does. But when you look at it, then it's very interesting because I don't believe he has.
His spokespeople are all outraged. You know, this is so terrible because he's such a good father and he wants to be there for his son for his high school graduation. I saw one guy who said that he never attended any of their graduations.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see as the records. I'm sure the folks are going to look into him. We're going to find out what those records are, whether or not he went to his previous kids' graduation ceremonies or not. And I think it's also important that it was just a couple days after Barron was born that this whole reason, the premise of the pay, the
that's why
when
you're
the
in
affair
trouble.
Happens,
yeah.
When you paid off the New York Inquirer and Stormy Daniels for all of this events. Right after Barron was born. So,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah.
Angie from Madison is online. Good morning, Angie. Thank you so much for joining us. What do you want to say?
I just want to make a statement that my other half, you know, he's not a Trump fan, but he's just a weirdo. but he made a mention that that Trump can't see Barron at his graduation. And I went, oh, boo-hoo. Who else have they ever said? Give permission to go see their kid at a graduation. And besides, when's the last time he has even seen Barron?
Thank you.
That's the question.
Thank you so much, Angie. And when is the last time we ever saw Donald Trump do anything normal with his family? I mean, we used to see photos of the Clintons, even the Bushes with their two daughters.
The Obamas.
With the Obamas. I have never seen a photo
Biden and his grandkids.
Where they're at a picnic or a barbecue or anything like that.
No,
right?
Unless
it's a campaign event.
Yeah. And even at those, the only family that shows up is usually the family that's working for them. It's also in on the either the campaign itself or working at the RNC or some part of the larger political grift that the Trump family seems to really have a hold on when it comes to Republican politics. And so I can't tell you the last time I saw Barron at an event with any of it. And so it's also, I mean, I can understand that the kid probably wants his privacy.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know what goes on, and I don't want to know.
Well, really. And I don't want to make the kid a target. I don't think anybody's kids should be targets. But this whole premise that he loves his family so much and will be so heartbroken if he can't go to the high school graduation, I just find that ludicrous.
It shows how much he hates court to the point where he's going to look for any excuse to try to get a day out of it. And I have a feeling if he does get out of it, he may briefly attend that graduation, but he's going to go try to do a political event or hit 9 on the golf course or 18 if he's got the time. those are where his priorities lie. And so the fact that he's going to try to look for anything to get out of a day in court is not a huge surprise. Again, like I think there's going to be any little thing that he can try to use as an excuse.
Sure.
He's going to try to use, and I have a feeling this kind of falls under that column. But again, The judge will get an opportunity to rule on that when their proceedings are still going on come May, whatever the date it is. And so we'll handle that then. But for him to be like, oh, I'm looking at my calendar and, you know, not that I have a campaign event or anything to run.
Right.
I'm trying to get out of this and this is the best excuse I can give you.
I also find it fascinating that Melania is not there.
No.
Offering her support for her husband.
I don't know if that's in the contract or whatever they have.
It's not in the prenup.
It's not in the fine print.
All right. News is on the way next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. After no jurors were chosen on Monday, they got to almost halfway there Tuesday for the hush money trial of Donald Trump.
Trump stayed mostly quiet, but at one point the judge chastised him for audibly muttering as a woman answered questions about what Trump's lawyer described as her extraordinarily hostile Facebook posts. Judge Michonne warned Trump's lawyer that Trump was muttering in the direction of the jurors, saying, "I will not tolerate that. I will not have any jurors intimidated in this courtroom."
ABC's Aaron Katursky. The Labor Department issued a final rule cutting in half the permissible exposure limit for crystalline silica dust for coal miners. The dust causes black lung disease, which contributed to thousands of premature deaths. His family announced the death of former U.S. Senator and two-term Florida Governor Bob Graham. He gained prominence chairing the Intelligence Committee after the September 11th attacks. Bob Graham was 87. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There will be no meeting of the powerful Joint Finance Committee to free up $125 million for PFAS cleanup in Wisconsin. Governor Evers says Republicans on the panel chose not to show up.
Am I angry about that? I'll just speak for myself. The answer is yes. We should absolutely be getting that money out the door. It's there. And by the fact that the Republicans on the committee are no-shows means that more people are going to suffer.
Republicans fault Evers for vetoing the PFAS bill they sent him this spring. Donald Trump's Wisconsin campaign director in 2020 will lead the Wisconsin Republican Party this election year. Andrew Iverson takes over as executive director. In 2020, Iverson pushed unfounded allegations of widespread voter fraud. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
"When the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out."
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Still some showers and storms roaming the range here in the overnight. It will stay gusty, although look for those speeds to back down just a bit. Overnight lows staying in the lower 50s and pretty much holding steady in the lower 50s during the day. Wednesday, showers and still some storms around. It's 47 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Letting someone else live their life in a way that you may not agree with, guess what? That's American. That's what we get to do here. We don't get to place our religious beliefs in a position of governmental endorsement so that we can exclude others from our educational systems, from our boardrooms. That ain't American. It isn't the Wisconsin that I know either.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufeks started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufeks charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Network.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hold me like you'll never let me go.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Luke Mathers in for Greg Bach, who is off today, and Calvin Butenhoff on the board, screening your calls at 855-75-CIVIC or 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we went to the news, we were talking about Donald Trump in court in Manhattan, apparently having some sleepies. He needs a nap.
Yeah, he needs a nap. He's up late.
Nodding off.
Yeah, so he's just not getting the 8 hours that he needs, apparently, and he's picking up a couple of them in courtroom.
Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Thank you for your patience, Mark. Good morning, sir.
Oh, not a problem. And for Donald Trump caring about his kids, I can remember hearing or reading the story that when Donald Trump, before he ran the first time around, that back when his son, Don Jr., was in college, the big Don was going to take a young Don to a basketball game, but when he got to pick up Don Jr. and his friends taking the basketball game, Don Jr. was not wearing a suit and wearing a sweatshirt, and Donald Trump hit him so hard he dropped the kid to the ground and just hauled off and smacked him because he wasn't wearing a suit. And that's a apocryphal story, perhaps, but it just is, you know, for Mr. Trump, I submitted a start of a Mr. Sandman song in tribute to Donald Trump. Mr. Sandman just sends him not, you know, a dream, but it's a nightmare, and that's all he gets these days is just nightmares. And that when he lays his little head to go sleepy, because apparently he doesn't get enough sleep at night, and maybe that's from snorting all that Adderall and mixed in with what other narcotics he's been taking. That he needs to.
There's rumors out there about that, Mark. And I heard that story also about Don Jr. and that he came to wear a suit to a basketball game. You had to be in a suit at all times. And yeah, he hit him so hard that he dropped him, and then he had to, in front of all his friends. And I do want to say this too. I feel really sorry for Barron Trump.
Yeah,
I do. And actually, as much as I might dislike his adult children, I feel sorry for them too. I genuinely do.
I definitely feel a degree of less sorrowful to them, because it's they're all choosing to be involved. Tiffany, I guess, because Tiffany doesn't really want any involvement in this.
But
everybody else has essentially worked for him in these political endeavors.
But I think about the way they were raised and the dysfunctional manner in which they were raised, and even Ivana said, you know, he really didn't want anything to do with the kids when they were little.
That
doesn't surprise anybody.
Me.
I know.
Yeah, that would not shock me.
Spare me the sob song about you're so upset because you're not going to be able to go to your son's high school graduation. Nobody's going to buy that.
Yeah, it's very hard to cloak yourself in family values when you haven't displayed any sort of having those family values yourself.
And as you said, it's kind of tough when your son who's graduating from high school is the one who is home with your wife that you were out stepping out on with other women. So, little icky there.
It doesn't seem to mesh well.
No, really doesn't. All right. Moving on.
Yeah.
Let's bring things back home here to Wisconsin. And let's talk about U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin's challenger, Eric Hovde, California guy, Frozen Lake sitter.
So home or California? Where are we going?
Axe thrower.
Yeah, which way are we going? Are we coming back to Wisconsin, or are we going to California?
We're back in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Eric's back from California. So we're all back in Wisconsin.
Okay.
But it was not that long ago that Eric Hovde essentially said people in nursing homes are in no position to vote.
Yeah, because just a week ago.
Because you're pretty much going to die.
He started buying into a lot of what the Gableman and Robin Voss for some time, the Republican elected official line that was here in Wisconsin that was blaming nursing homes and nursing home residents for the fact that Donald Trump lost the 2020 election in Wisconsin.
Right.
Because that's what it comes down to. Republicans still held the assembly. None of those Republican elected officials were questioning their own ballots. They were only criticizing the fact that the former president wasn't reelected, and they were looking for a boogeyman. And so any form of absentee ballots or absentee voting that took place, they wanted to criticize. And so Michael Gableman brought these folks and interrogated them, essentially, for nursing home staff and nursing home residents about the voting results of the 2020 April and November elections. And again, we're in the midst of a pandemic, folks.
Yes.
The Republican-led state legislature packed up shop that April and said, good luck with this. We're going to go run for re-election. You guys figure out how to administer the elections amidst the worst pandemic in a century. And so our very brave election workers around the state of Wisconsin did that with the little guidance that they received from those elected officials. And after Donald Trump lost, then there's been a lot of digging up. Oh, well, how could that possibly have happened?
Why did we let this happen?
We have a man who is full of grievances, and now we have to shoulder those grievances as well. And so now Eric Hovde, who is back from California, is buying into that line of questioning, and last week said that if you're in a nursing home, you only got a life expectancy of roughly 5 to 6 months. So what are you doing voting?
Right.
It doesn't make sense. I think we had the opportunity to talk about this when I joined you and Greg remotely, I believe. I joined in on the show.
Ago.
Yeah, either last week or the week before. And it's just a illogical line of thought. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, when do you cut people off? 5 to 6 months after they're in the nursing home? Is there some kind of clairvoyant aspect that our election officials need to know? Oh, you're going to die in 5 to 6 months, so now we no longer let you vote. Like, how does it work? It doesn't. And you'd think that there would maybe be a little distancing himself of those opinions, but just yesterday it seems like the Republican senatorial candidate is doubling down on his remarks.
He said on a radio show yesterday, last week they tried to say I didn't want elderly people to vote. I don't even know how they come up with that. Well, it's called a quote. Other than when I pointed out that at nursing homes in Racine, they were finding 100% voting where children were going, how did my parents vote? When you're in skilled nursing, you only have, sadly, the life expectancy when you're in skilled nursing is about 5 to 6 months of life.
So he's trying to put that little precursor. Skilled nursing, skilled, now, not just nursing homes, because now he's learning, ooh, there's something different between nursing home and assisted living and hospice. Like, there's different levels of all of it. But he last week said nursing homes.
But it's important to remember, too, that as much as he has said, I want to move on from the 2020 election. Let's not look back. There, you know, it's over.
He's doubling down.
Or it's over. But they continue this. But this was cheating.
Yes.
But this could be cheating. But we want to keep those doubts alive in case the November election results are not what they want. And then they're going to come back and do the exact same thing.
Yes. It's very much that same groundwork, that same. The people are saying, the hearsay.
Many people are saying.
We've got reports of people saying all of that. It's a pseudo critical thinking. Like, it is not truly thinking about what went down in 2020, how that there was no assistance. The election officials and Wisconsinites across the entire state were left with no guidance from our legislature.
Right.
They just said, go figure it out.
Because they all bolted.
Yes, they closed up shop. They were like, hey, we're going to go figure out how we run for re-election. We're going to do campaign events on Zoom or other virtual aspects. We're going to do a lot of different things. Maybe we'll meet in person because, you know, pandemic be damned. We're going to do whatever we want to do still. And so there were a lot of folks, there were elected officials that contracted COVID. And we're in the hospital and then still did everything they could to limit the limiting of the spread.
Right.
That we're against any form of masks, any form of safer at home, any form of anything to address the pandemic, vaccines, anything.
And I can think of one lawmaker in particular who I will not name who was on a ventilator for a month.
Mm-hmm. And so the fact that there is just an airing of those grievances, that they want to say, oh, it's in the past, we're not going to think about it, but then they still keep bringing it up, just shows you that they're not honest about saying that they want it to be in the past.
No,
they want to relitigate it.
They want to keep this alive.
Yeah.
They have to keep this alive.
Because they need, as you pointed out, they need excuses if they lose again.
Absolutely.
Because they can't actually own up to, oh, Maybe we should change us.
Maybe our policies are bad. Maybe people don't like our policies. Oh, no, it couldn't be that.
Right.
It could never be that.
Exactly.
There's an interesting letter to the editor in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about Eric Hovde from Tom from Brookfield. And he says, I've been trying to figure out what the quote credited to Eric Hovde means. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote. It sounds like an excuse to disenfranchise eligible voters. Does that mean people with short life expectancies should have no say in who represents them for whatever time they have left? Does that mean people with short life expectancies should have no say in how they will be taxed or which laws get enacted? Should they have no say about Medicare or Social Security? Aside from people in nursing homes, should those diagnosed with terminal cancer or ALS or heart disease or any other of numerous maladies that can minimize one's longevity, should they also be denied the right to vote? Eric Hovde, explain yourself more clearly so voters know where you stand on voters' rights. Good luck with that, Tom, because, again, I follow him on what used to be Twitter, and he has no policies. He has no platforms. He has no plans. He has platitudes. He's got lots of platitudes.
And a mustache.
And the mustache.
That's about it.
And a frozen lake that he likes.
Hey, I love Wisconsin's lakes.
I love Wisconsin's lakes,
too. He can love the lakes, too, and I'm sure it's a little bit of a change of scenery for him in the winter months, because I'm sure he only spent time on those lakes in recent years in the summer months, because he seems to be a California
kind
resident.
Kind of a California guy.
And so I'm sure that he hasn't spent a whole lot of Wisconsin winters of late, but if he wants to jump in a lake for a political ploy, that's fine. But when he continues to really take on this mantle that has been disproven and relitigated, and Wisconsin voters have been dealing with this for the last 4 years, and the fact that they are going to have, like, we as the state have another round of election cycle where Republican elected officials or individuals trying to become Republican elected officials are still airing these grievances, it's exhausting. And I got to imagine that Wisconsin voters have to be pretty fed up with it at this point.
That's the blessing and the curse of being a swing state.
That's
right.
Blessing and curse. I hear more of curses lately than blessings of them.
And also, real quickly, I find this headline hilarious. Also in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, of which I'm a subscriber, and I think everyone should be. Senate candidate Eric Hovde nets $9.1 million, with $8.8 million from himself. Well, so shouldn't it say Eric Hovde nets $1.1 million?
That's what I would think.
Not 9.1 million with 8 million coming from himself.
Yeah, the fact that it's deemed part of his fundraising total, but really it's a loan from him. Is it a donation or is it a loan? Because there are a lot of elected officials that will do. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson loaned himself $9 million then had it paid back essentially from his previous employer before winning election for the first time in 2010.
This does include an $8 million loan the banking and real estate mogul made to fund his effort to run against Senator Tammy Baldwin.
So that means he can essentially fundraise now to pay back himself.
Nice.
I forget, there's been a number of changes to campaign finance, but because of what I believe Congress has done in recent years, he's got even a longer period to pay it back. Because Ron Johnson I'm not going to try to reclaim part of the loans now that are eligible under the. Oh, it wasn't Congress. It was the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a provision of campaign finance that extended the ability for elected officials and candidates to be able to recoup those losses that they made for themselves through donations and political funds. Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm sure that there will be somebody that will pay from either Super PAC or something else. With all of the wild, wild west that is campaign finance, Eric Hovde is going to find a way to get that $8 million loan back to himself.
He's going to get his money back. All right. Well, Billy Joel fans, big sigh of relief, folks. We have good news for you. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
That you wait for me. Like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Who do you want making the decisions for your daughters if you're a girl dad? I have two girls, 14 and 12, and I still consider myself pro-life. But here's the thing. I became a conservative because I didn't want government telling me what to do and being intrusive in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned if I want a bunch of theocrats getting in the middle of my daughter's life.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Luke Mathers in for Greg Bach. Callan is here as well. And you can always join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And if you want to email the show directly, if you have a guest idea or a segment idea or something going on in your community, wherever you are, in Oshkosh or Amory or Hayward or Park Falls, you can email us at janesays@civicmedia.us. It's pretty easy.
You can also use that email to just shower Jane and Greg and Calvin with love about how great of a job that they do here.
Anytime.
From 10 to noon. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. We love that. Before we went to the break, we were talking about California guy lake sitting, axe throwing Eric Hovde. And he raised $9.1 million. Oh, wait. Well,
he loaned himself.
Well, he gave himself a bunch of money. But Bob from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Bob. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. I really like your show.
Thank you.
I would love to ask Eric Hovde, if Trump came to him with a project, would his bank loan him money?
That is a great question, Bob.
I think it's a fair question.
That is an excellent, excellent question. What do you think he would say?
Well, unless he's a fool, he'd say no.
It'll be interesting to see if he needs another banknote for what's going on in New York. So we'll see. Maybe there's an opportunity that will present itself,
That's a really good point, Bob. Again, he has a long history of not paying his bills. History of not paying his bills. And thank you so very much for listening, Bob. I really, really appreciate it.
Great taste in radio.
For sure.
Great taste.
All right. As we mentioned, good news for Billy Joel fans. There was such a freak out yesterday.
Yeah. Well, Sunday night, apparently.
Sunday night.
I didn't know this was happening. So when everybody started talking about it yesterday morning, I was like,
what happened?
What did I miss? And it was surprising, but apparently a live concert put on by Mr. Billy Joel himself.
Mr. Billy Joel.
It was cut short, Jane.
His 100th special cut short Sunday night. The issue at a national level. The show dropped out in just the last couple of minutes in the Midwest and along the East Coast. All of the CBS stations around the country get a feed from the network in New York.
Mm-hmm.
There was a timing error on the network's part, so it was not a local issue, but he's right in the middle of Piano Man. That's this big finish. That's this big end song. And it just goes.
Just everybody in their living room just like linking arms back and forth, singing the chorus, the Piano Man. And then
holding
all
hands.
Of a sudden you get the intro to your 10 o'clock news. And it's like, what?
So they're going to re-air the whole thing Friday night.
Yes.
Which is
CBS
nice.
CBS is very sorry. They're going to do what they can to make amends with everybody that was very upset with the fact that the concert was cut short from them on Sunday night. I've Mr. Brian Kelly and myself have had a number of, we'll have some snafus here or there with programming issues.
It happens.
I'm so glad that we've never had anything to this scale. I can't imagine whoever was the one that accidentally scheduled
that switch.
Yeah. They're probably having a pretty bad week.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. Although I do find it kind of amusing. We all know how the song ends, right? It's not like there's a surprise finish to Piano Man.
Right. But when you're, like, from what I can tell, the folks that were watching it were very much watching it.
Deeply
like
invested.
They were invested. They were in the show. They were loving it. And then all of a sudden, they
it was
weren't.
Gone.
There was gone. It
gone.
Disappeared. It was no more. And so I just laugh because every time lately, it's great that he's back playing live shows because that's really, really cool. He played at the Grammys. He's doing these shows now again that can be nationally televised. But I just think of Step Brothers, what it's like. We do strictly 80s, Joel, when somebody's requesting Piano Man, and like the event band that does 80s Joel, like, yells at a participant that just keeps requesting non-80s Joel.
Oh, that is so funny.
And that's just where my mind goes. It's just like, it's not a radio-friendly clip. Otherwise, I would have had Calvin cue it up. But it's just, we strictly do 80s Joel. And that's all I can think of.
That is, I mean, he was really a very prolific songwriter and has had.
And he walked away from it at the height of things. Like, it's not like he just stopped performing and writing because he just didn't find joy in it anymore. Is from what I could tell, when the Grammys did the long story about his new song that they debuted at the Grammys. But you didn't have to watch the concert because you've seen
Billy Joel
live.
Himself. Yeah. I have seen Billy Joel. This was at Alpine Valley a long time ago.
Not that long ago.
Well,
Come on.
This was a pretty long time ago.
Come on.
And he still had hair.
Okay, so that may be giving it away
then.
That
was a
pretty
long time ago. But I remember this with such clarity because I had on a pair of boots that had little metal decorative tips.
So like spurs? Like
not,
tips in the back? Tips
no,
in the
on,
front?
On the front. On the pointy toe, there was a little triangle of metal just as a decorative feature. I liked that for whatever reason at that time. So I wear these boots to the Billy Joel concert, and they weren't going to let me in.
Did you have to be like, don't you know who I am?
No.
I've
never. Because most people would say no, and I don't care.
Just close your eyes and imagine me.
No, and why are you not going to let me in? Because your shoes could be used as a weapon.
That's wild.
And I said, do you think I'm going to stomp someone to death during Piano Man?
Hey, it's a very catchy tune and people could get enthralled with it.
A little crazy. So they did let me in.
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually.
You got to see the concert, so
but
that's good.
I just was, I mean, it's like, really, look at me. You think. Really?
Hey, the security folks were just trying to do their jobs, Shane. They're keeping everybody safe at the venue.
You never know the riffraff, right?
You never know, especially, you know, if you get, not only that, there's so many hits on Stranger. It could have been any song that sent you off. It didn't have to be Piano Man itself. But it's very interesting that CBS is just gonna be like, all right, Friday, we promise we're making a space in the broadcast lineup. We're gonna do the whole concert again, and here we go. Hopefully, nobody schedules this one incorrectly.
And I do feel badly for the local affiliates because you know there was some poor person who was at the desk answering phone calls as the
phone calls. I'm sure emails were rolling
down.
In. I'm sure that there were a lot of folks that were upset with local anchors that were just doing their job and 10 o'clock news came on.
Not their fault.
And they got the brunt of the worst of it.
All right. Thank you so very much, Luke Mathers.
Absolutely, Jane.
Thank
Always
you,
a
Calvin.
Pleasure.
Kevin, thank you to all of our engineers. Thank you for calling and for listening and for texting. It means absolutely everything. The news is coming up next. Stay tuned for that. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For a Saturday, and the manager gives me a smile, 'cause he knows that it's me they've been coming to see, to forget about life for a while.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball, Wednesday noon to 2, our exclusive interview with Kathy Griffin as she performs in Madison this weekend on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.